This season, Toyota Racing is looking for jugglers.
Aha!
Not the ones who toss balls or rings. Fans that can juggle the rigors of a 10-month-long season across many different racing circuits.
Well, what if I added knives?
What if you added GR Cup, Formula Drift, and off-road racing? If you can juggle it all, then we want you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places. Formula Drift is a registered trademark of Formula Drifts Holdings, LLC.
Hello again, it's Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. We are taking you into the garage area and talking to the folks to make these race cars go around in circles. I'm Steve Post, pit reporter for Motor Racing Network, joined by 25-time and championship-winning crew chief Todd Gordon. Hello, Todd, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great. Had a great event at this weekend. No weather delays. Well, sunshine all weekend.
Yeah. Was not 9 zillion degrees like Gateway? Or the weather delays, as you talked about. Sonoma, and we get to the stage. Sometimes the fastest car doesn't always win. That wasn't the case at Sonoma. The fastest car won the race. James Small and Martin Truex Jr. really, really performed well. It was fun watching excellence, and that's what we had on Sunday afternoon.
Yep. Yeah, it definitely was. I tuned into the race. My wife was on a couch beside me, and I think it was about lap 9. I said, Martin Truex Jr. is going to win this race. he had driven from, I think they started 8th, had driven his way up to 3rd. I think he was challenging for 2nd. Really showed a lot of potential early, but they hung on to their speed as well. I don't know that anybody was going to beat the 19 car.
Yeah, other than themselves. They executed flawlessly, and they really did a nice job. I think we remember last year. Fast forward backward. See, that's not fast forwarding.
Rewind
backward. There we go. Rewind backward to Sonoma last year, where are the Toyotas?
Best finishing Toyota was 18th
last year.
And at the start of this race, you had 5 of the top 6 were Toyotas.
Yeah.
I think they've done a great turnaround. Denny Hamlin gave some credit to Tyler Reddick on kind of bringing over what he needed out of a race car and let them work on that. I think it's been across the Toyota camp. Obviously, with those two teams being tied together as tightly as they are, I think it's applied to both. They've definitely stepped their game up and a far cry from where they were a year ago at Sonoma.
So kudos to everyone at the Toyota camp, that's for sure. A couple other things that kind of stand out. And if we're not on here talking about Ricky Stenhouse Jr., we're talking about Front Row Motorsports and Michael McDowell. And by the way, Ryan Briganti is going to join us here on the program from up at Front Row Motorsports. It just seems like every week one of these two teams is just catching our attention. McDowell, man, what a ride he gave that car. Had a little problem on the pit stop at the end, and that he put his head down and drove right back through the field up to a 6th place finish. Pretty strong effort for that team.
Yeah, a great day for those guys. And you know, the pit stop issue, I went back and looked at this one and kind of did a deeper dive into it. This was, you know, they had a tire getaway on the racetrack at Charlotte at the Coke 600. Lost their jack man, lost their front changer. This was a replacement guy that didn't have a lot of experience, and I thought kept his composure really well in a situation when a nut got away from the gun and composed. They lost 8 spots there, but that could have been a much worse situation. But to your point, we looked at Michael last year being competitive here and having a shot at winning. I think all day long he was in that top 3 or 4 cars, and came down 3rd there, came out, I don't know, 11th, I think it was, and 3 cars stayed out, but then drove his way back to a great finish.
Right.
And they've done well. I think they've got to look forward at, you know, the schedule we've got coming up as being very positive for them with 3 more street/road courses and Atlanta Daytona, which I call super speedway races. It's a great opportunity for them coming forward. They got to be excited.
They do. They really do. Two teams that stood out to me that I don't think performed as well as they would like to, but got really good results, Paul Wolf and Joey Logano, and Alan Gustafson and Chase Elliott. When they were doing on Friends of PRN, I was listening to it, we would not hear Joey Logano and Chase Elliott's name except for in full field rundowns in the back half of the field, it seemed like. And yet when we get to the final tally, they both had top 5 finishes. Great execution. Great execution. Good race cars, but great execution by those teams.
Yeah, I feel like I'll take them on one at a time, I'll group with Joey Logano. I'll group Kyle Busch into that.
Kyle Busch too.
They were both on the, you know, around plus or minus a couple of spots from 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th range. And they short pitted stage one points position, which gets them short of the leaders coming to pit road and gets them that 2 to 3 second a lap advantage on moving forward. That one didn't play out as big, but they came at, I think, 42 or 43 and pitted the second time. And then the caution came at 50, knowing that stage points got awarded at 55. That cycled them to the front. Kyle Busch ended up winning stage two. Joey Logano, second or third. Yeah. I'm not sure which one it was, but once Paul Wolf got him in that position with strategy on pit road, they kind of hung in the top five the rest of the day with a solid run. So I don't feel like they were going to drive their way there, but they got themselves there. But a good effort there. The nine car, Alan Gustafson. They have to win. They're at a point. Yeah. They all understand it. We see it. They all see it as well. They have to get a win. And Alan, when we got through that green flag cycle of what should have been the last pit stop, the last needed pit stop, started early at 72, felt like 80 was probably the number. A lot of guys came 75. They were early. Alan ran him as long as anybody. I think it was lap 80. It was close to 80. Mm-hmm. He and the four car went long. And his play at that point is, I'm going to run long and hope a caution comes just after I stop.
Right.
And if he ran longer and the caution came out, he'd be buried.
He'd be in trouble.
So they took it and they took the gamble with 12 lap old tires when the caution came at 92 or three to stay out. And they were one of three cars, but they made it work. Finished top five, I think a fifth place finish. You had multiple cautions. They might've had a fighting chance, but overall, the 19 car was dumb.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Great, great stuff out of Sonoma, that is for sure. And we mentioned it. Ryan Briganti is the crew chief at Front Row Motorsports. We're going to talk to him. He's a fascinating guy, fascinating story, and can't wait to do that. So that's what we're doing here today on Crew Call. Stay with us. Ryan Briganti, he joins us next.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
Welcome back to Crew Call. Loving every minute of talking to some of our friends from the garage area, and joining us now from a beachside condo. He is not the only crew chief or NASCAR worker that is probably beachside or mountainside, and we appreciate him taking some time out. Ryan Briganti joins us from up at Front Row Motorsports. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you?
We are well. All right. Before we get into the NASCAR stuff, beach, family, where are you at? What are you doing? What's your getaway here?
Yeah, we made the 7 hour or so trip to the Outer Banks. First time Outer Banks for me. Got the girls here and some of our good friends and their girls. And right here at the beach, we got a morning run in this morning with one of my kids. Now we're out in the pool and I'm sure they're ready to go get some seashells here in a minute off the beach. So having a good time.
Yeah. Really. Those are treasured times with one off weekend during the season. You have to take advantage of that. I'm glad you got the family time. Talk about, I want to back this thing up. This is going to be kind of general, but tell us about the path from Connecticut to Cup crew chief. That's your story, I think is worth to tell.
Yeah. Story is really just grew up a racer. My family was in racing the Plainville Stadium and those days back in Central Connecticut. And my father had grown up with Michael and Teddy Christopher. And so I was exposed to them as, a toddler up through, until I moved to Charlotte. So if you know their history, they're racers. They race 7 days a week if they could. So it just slowly became a part of who I am. And somewhere around 2005, 2006, I just said, I'm going to work on race cars and I'm going to try it. I can't ever look back and think I didn't attempt it. And so made the move down, and then from there, it's just, I was raised on just, hard work. You show up on time, you work harder than the guy next to you, you're honest and loyal. And if you do all the basics like that, right, then when opportunity comes, hopefully you're prepared for it. So, the next 10 years up until I mean, I think 2009, I went out to Furniture Row. Barney and Joe gave me an opportunity out there as a mechanic. So took the chance, went out there. And then in 2013, had an opportunity to come back to North Carolina, car chief, the one car at Ganassi for, you know, until 2019 or so. And we took a little couple years stint off when my wife and I had our first child. And then last year, good buddy Blake called me back and said, I need you back here. And so the story the last 2 years has been really, it's been real rewarding for me. You know, it's come back racing with him a little last year. Now this year, the opportunity that, you know, Bob and Jerry and everybody at Front Row has given me to kind of help the 38 car. You know, it's a dream come true. So I'm trying to do my best, you know, to be a good leader and a good role model for, you know, the company. And it's been a good year. We're still working hard to get better in a lot of areas, but for sure it's, my story's been good and we're at this point now.
Ryan, we're going to talk a lot about Front Row because what you guys are doing up there is amazing. What you did last year there and what you guys are doing now might even be a little bit more impressive, but I am always curious. And those that are not familiar with the history of the sport, Furniture Row is a fascinating step in so many people's journey because everything is based in North Carolina. And Barney Visser was vehement that he was going to base a team in Denver, Colorado. And when you decided to go to Barney Visser's, you weren't worried. You were all in. The decision to go do that, what is that like for a mechanic based in Charlotte to uproot, to go where there's no fallback plan? There's no shop down the road that you can roll your toolbox to if you get disgruntled there. What's that decision process like for you and so many others that had great experiences out there?
Yeah, I think, I mean, for myself, I don't know if it was that tough of a decision.
Yeah.
Mainly because it was the front side of my career and you're kind of just looking for opportunity and stuff like that. So the timing of it was right. You know, I wasn't married, didn't have a girlfriend at the time, had pretty much nothing other than my toolbox and a little apartment. So the risk was easy for me to take. And I mean, the fascinating story for me about Furniture Row, it is really not about the racing. It's about Barney himself as a person, right? Once you get to know the kind of person he was and how he carried himself, how he treated his employees from the ground floor up, you know, he used to come in the shop there and Joe's office was right around the corner and he'd hook a left every day he'd come in. He'd hook a left and he'd go see the guys washing parts. And he really, that was probably the most instrumental thing for me in my career of being out there is just seeing how he carried himself. And I've tried to look at that side of it, how to better myself moving forward in my career. The race car stuff is what it is, right? We all work hard to do good in racing, but to separate yourself from that and to figure out what that next level in the industry is, it's really about people. So, the Furniture Row, stint I did is really good. You know, obviously I left in 13, right when Martin got there and had the opportunity at Ganassi to come back this way. And so, you know, in hindsight, you'd probably say, it'd be nice to stay out there. They had a couple good year stint there, but, you know, what I take out of it and what I've learned out there and where I'm at now in my career, it's all, it was a really good experience. I'm thankful for what Barney and Joe and everybody out there did. And, I wish they were still around. It was a really good, operation he had. So, you know, but we all move on and he's enjoying Colorado and his family now. And we're back over here racing.
Yeah. Yeah. Really cool. And you talk about your path, taking a year off and getting out of the sport. How hard was it to drag you back into it for Blake?
Not that hard. No, I'll be honest with you. We moved back to Connecticut for 2 years and honestly, I was probably racing more with little Michael Christopher Jr. and all my buddies back up there. Right. My dad's shop's only two doors down from where Teddy's shop is, where Michael is now. And so it was pretty easy for me to come back merely because I was putting more hours in going to Stafford and working on modifieds. My wife's like, when are you coming home? And it's 10 o'clock at night. And, you know, you just, you know, you're helping buddies and good buddies with, like, you know, Keith Rocco and them, and he has a big program. He's doing really well with up there with rental cars and stuff. And so, you know, I just kind of put my foot into that. And what we did is we committed to 2 years and when Blake had called, we were 3 days past the 2 year window. So my wife and I already started having talks a couple of days prior of, do we want to stay here? And what's the long-term best, you know, healthiest opportunity and situation to put our family in? And Blake called, and it was kind of a joke because he was doing some shock stuff for me up there. And I was expecting him to tell me I didn't pay a bill or something like that. But he just kind of told me what was going on. And I talked to the wife about it, and the opportunity to race with him, it was a lot of fun. And so we just jumped on board, and we love Charlotte. Charlotte's where we're home. So we're back.
Yeah. Really cool. Really cool. You talked about Barney and having the whole team atmosphere and being around with the guys. Came in as a car chief at the 34 last year. Now you're the crew chief of the 38. Leaves you a lot of relationships throughout the shop that's got to help kind of keep the shop together, and you tied in with everybody, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think, you know, it's weird to think that I'm crew chief in a car right now with, you know, the last, you know, 15, 17 years, you had to be an engineer, right? It was just a really engineer driven sport. And so I think the benefit that someone of my kind of background has is that I've spent so much time on the ground floor with those guys that there's a different level of respect, a different level of understanding. It's a little bit of a different mindset. And at the end of the day, you're really just trying to accomplish the same thing, right? Like you're just, you're looking to build fast race cars. You're looking to go to the racetrack and be the best car there. So I think for me, it's been pretty smooth transition because I understand what it takes to execute all the stuff that it takes to make a race car go fast. But I also understand what we have at Front Row, right? So I'm not sitting upstairs with our engineer and demanding these results from a certain department that are not really not feasible for us, right? So at Front Row, with the size of company we are, the resources we have, there's a lot of splitting hairs and decisions that go into just really can we execute that properly? I have a list of things that I wish we can execute, but I don't feel we can do it properly right now, given where we're at. So you just split hairs with that and you spend time on the floor with those guys. And it's been a pretty good transition.
Ryan, you talk a lot about Blake Harris. He was crew chief. You were car chief on that team last year. Blake gets an opportunity to go to Hendrick Motorsports. Great opportunity for him. You find yourself jumping to the other team and enter Travis Peterson, another engineer. That dynamic of co-crew chiefs with you, you've talked about not being an engineer. Travis, engineer, how does that dynamic work between the two of you?
I mean, it goes back to our desks are, you know, 5 feet apart from each other, right? So you just, again, this goes back to understanding, right? And Travis is a little younger, but man, he's smart. He's got a really good career in the industry ahead of himself, a little more experience and going through the motions and all that. And I think what we've done this year is we've helped each other find this mutual ground, right? Travis has a lack of the, you know, understanding of ground floor stuff, of executing stuff on the shop floor. And I have at the beginning of the year, I had a huge loophole of like that. I had no information on running sim and stuff like that. And so what we've done is we get in the middle. I ask him some basic questions about, you know, when I'm navigating sim and just looking through, you know, stuff my engineers are sending me, and he's forthcoming. He just straight up is like, this is how you do it, right? And it's vice versa. So he'll come to me and say, hey, I have an idea, you know, from an aero side or a production side on the ground floor. And we just talk about it. And at the end of the day, we're trying to build better race cars. And without meeting in the middle, I think we'd be kind of dumb to do something different, right? It's really... it's a tough industry. You want to be the best one, right? So there's a healthy competitiveness we have internally between each other, but at the same time, you know, we help each other and we're doing good.
Yeah. It's great because you both have strengths that are opposite of each or different than each other and can share those with each other. It sounds like a great relationship. You know, as you look at through the season so far, I was looking back through it, but I think over half of your races, you finished in the top 15. And that's I think that's an accomplishment for me looking at it. I feel like that's something that you know, you guys have continued to grow this 38 team forward. It's been good so far. Your take on it?
Yeah, this is a tough week to look back at the results because Sonoma was a disaster. Yeah. You know, I always say I've had a bad history, no matter where I've been in the sport, of going into off week and having a bad week. So,
oh boy.
But with that being said, it's tough for me. If you get to know me, other than winning practice, winning qualifying, and winning the race and leading every lap, I'm not happy. And so I do have to take a little time to slow myself down and reflect on what we're building and the pace that we're building it at. Where the 38 was last year, essentially where we're at now, there's not much different. You know, we have the dynamic there with two different drivers and just trying to juggle a lot of things internally. But it's been a solid year. I feel that we have not executed a couple things properly that have stopped us from having a few more better finishes. But I guess, yeah, it's better. It's we're doing okay, but I'd like to see some more top tens and top fives here coming soon.
Well, I'll tell you what, I could tell you've hung out with Teddy and Mike Christopher with that answer. I mean, that is, man, that is all TC right there.
Yeah. Okay. So let me back that one up. As you entered the season, what did you have for realistic goals and where do you feel you are relative to those?
To be honest, you're going to think I'm crazy. I don't see any reason we can't go win a race. And given the schedule, you know, you look back at the schedule a couple of years ago and maybe 6-7 years ago, the mile and a half, you just had to be good mile and a half. Now with Chicago and some of these road courses they put in and stuff like that, you look back last year, what Todd did on the road course. I mean, truthfully, Watkins Glen, the kid was stellar, like really good. And Indy really good. And I'm like, man, we can be better with our cars, our builds. We can execute better races. And we're going to put this kid in the shot to go win a race. Going into the season, I want to make chase and I want to win a race. And ideally, I'd like to average about 15th place every week, no matter where we're at. And I feel our mile and a half stuff's gotten better. It's going to be a never ending struggle because the big teams have so many resources when it comes to just, you know, slowly advancing themselves and getting better every week. But the road courses and short tracks and stuff, I think we can run with them. It just takes a lot to put together a race. So, I still feel we can win a race this last weekend. I had high hopes with Zane and the results. And, it just was I don't want to say a disaster. I was expecting to qualify just a little bit better than we did. But we had a pit road penalty at the worst time, went a lap down, couldn't take the wave, it ran green the whole time. And so we just were throwing Hail Marys then and putting him in a bad spot to just try and get a lap back. And it just never panned out. So we're going to keep plugging away. And I'm still hopeful we can contend for a win here this year.
That is cool. That is really, really cool. I'm telling you what, I love that coming in. If you're not aiming for victory lane, where are you going? You know, I mean,
I'm going to stay at the beach. If I'm not trying to win a race, I'm going to stay at the beach.
There you go. That's good. That's good. Good stuff.
Yeah. So you brought it up, you know, into the start of the season, you knew it ahead of time. We didn't, but you got, you know, you and Todd had a relationship going, but Zane's filling in for a couple of races, in the cup piece. How is that dynamic of catering to two different drivers and two different styles? How's that affected you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's the easiest thing to tackle. But with those two, I call them kids now, those guys, they're buddies and they know each other. And Todd has done an exceptional job with handling it and his approach. But from a functionality of the race team, it's quite tough. You know, you always try to build the best car every week. That's what it is. But the morale, you know, Todd, we had a stretch there where we went, like, we had an average finish of like 12 or 13th for like 5 or 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you throw in a race with Zane and it just kind of deflates the balloon that you've pumped up there for a couple of weeks. So, but I think for myself, it's just understanding it's what we got. And we're not going to change that. And I've tried to, you know, shed light on it with the team and the group and stay positive. And the drivers have been positive. And again, Todd's got a big career ahead of him. The kid is good and he's tackling all this the right way. So, you know, we just take the challenges as they arise. We were a week to week team and, you know, now we got Todd in the car here for quite a while until I think Texas in the fall or something. So,
yeah, well, we'll see what happens. We are going to let you get back to the family at the beach. We do appreciate you taking some time out from the beach vacation to join us here on Crew Call. We are, Todd and I, it's like every week we come in and we're just loving the Front Row story, whether it's what you guys are doing or what Michael and Travis are doing. It is just a fascinating tale to watch this go. And winning races, I think for either one of those cars, listening to you, either one of those cars, I think you still could do that for sure.
So I'm going to be a little cheerleader here, but tell you that Sonoma is nothing like the rest of the road courses.
There you go.
don't let that one drive you down. I looked at the history. I mean, fourth place finish at Indy last year and really ran up there most of the day. You know, there's great opportunities. Yeah. You look at the rest of the schedule, you've got to be really excited about, you know, five of the next 10 races, a couple of super speedway races, which, you know, your organization has done really well at, and three road courses that I think you can be very competitive at. The future looks great. I look forward to seeing where you can get.
Yeah, I appreciate your time today, and we're looking forward to the rest of the year. Like I said, I'm a week to week guy. this week's the beach, next week is Nashville, and we're trying hard. And I just everybody at Front Row deserves a little kudos, you know, from myself and just everybody in general, because we're a small group, we're a fun group, and they've just anytime we've asked them to, you know, turn a sharp corner and deliver something, they've done their best and they've done a good job. So, you know, thank you to everybody there and all our partners and stuff like that. So, it's a good season so far, but I want to be back on here talking about a win soon. So
we'll do that. We always talk to first time crew chief winners. So we're going to do that as the season unfolds. Ryan, enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy the family. And thanks for joining us here on Crew Call.
Awesome. Thank you. Have a good afternoon, guys.
There we go. Ryan Bergenti joins us here on Crew Call. Stay with us. More in just a moment.
Hey, everyone. It's Kyle Busch. At Cheddar's, you get a variety of American classics in a place that feels like home. They have comfort food like hand-breaded chicken tenders, homemade chicken pot pie with nearly a half a pound of roasted chicken under that golden flaky crust, slow-smoked baby back ribs so big they're falling off the plate, all for unbeatable prices. And the best part? A free honey butter croissant for every guest. Now that's how they do it. Cheddar's. Get a lot for not a lot.
Welcome back. It is Crew Call here on the Motor Racing Network. Todd Gordon and Steve Post. And I joke around with all my friends. I was talking to some radio stations here this week, and I said, all my crew chief buddies, all my crew guy fans are going to have beach pictures and mountain trips. And we start right off with Crew Call from Ryan from the beach. I love it. I think it's great.
I love that he took time out of the beach,
yes,
family time, to whittle out, you know, 20, 30 minutes for us. So really cool. And his story and where they're going, you know, being involved, where he was, going back home.
Spending
a couple of years, the kind of lure back. We'd heard it from Blake that he called him to bring him back. Good to hear this side of the story.
Yeah. I think we live in, this is way big picture stuff. We live in a society where you have this trajectory, this straight line trajectory in the career. If it's in motorsports, it's the state line trajectory to get to become crew chief or competition director or whatever that role is at the top of the pecking order. And I just find it fascinating sometimes just taking a 2-year time out to move back to Connecticut to work on modifieds may be one of the biggest and best steps in the whole process to get you back to where you need to go.
But to refocus.
Yeah.
And like he said, he worked harder doing that than...
Yeah.
And you do that, you know, those modifieds up there.
Guys. Oh gosh.
Those guys are, and they are, he talked about the Christophers and they're diehard racers.
That is hardcore right there. That is 24/7, baby. That really is. So it's good.
Yeah. Great story. Great stuff. And I think he brought up, I like the points he made, cause I wanted to ask that question about your path, but show up on time, show up early, work harder than the guy next to you, have a positive attitude and look forward.
Yep.
And that's life, right?
Yeah.
And those are the things that those people find success because they're there to make it.
Yep, absolutely. Even when you move to Connecticut, someone remembers that from Denver, Colorado, to call you to move to North Carolina.
Yes.
That's pretty cool right there.
It is. It is.
Pretty cool
stuff. Great story.
Great, great story. That's for sure. NASCAR, an off weekend.
The
weekend for the Cup Series, no doubt about it. Man, oh man, there's just a lot of downtime for the crews, and then everyone will start to show up the early part of next week behind with everything and scrambling and hair on fire. But that is kind of what it is.
16 races in, get an off week, and come back to 20 straight.
Right,
and that culminates with a 10 race playoff run.
Yeah.
This off weekend is a definite needed rejuvenation and time to spend some time with the family, because it's going to get smaller and smaller as you get closer to playoffs.
Absolutely. And that's what we encourage you to do this weekend. We're not going to be propped down listening to the radio or watching TV of the race. It's Father's Day. If your dad is still around, call him, talk to him, take him out to dinner, do whatever you do with your dads, spend a little quality time with that. And NASCAR will be back bigger, bolder than ever, all three series at Nashville next weekend. So we encourage everyone to take a little downtime as well and just enjoy the family. Enjoy that time for sure. So we're going to get on out of here. Next week on the show, we're going to kind of maybe do a little recap, but also set the table for the run for the playoffs, particularly in the Cup Series, but also take a look a little bit at Xfinity Series and the Truck Series. So we'll do that next week here on Crew Call. We appreciate Ryan Briganti for joining us here on the program. But more important than all of that, thank you for joining us here this week on Crew Call.